If you have your Bibles, may I encourage you to turn to Nehemiah. We've been working through the book of Nehemiah. If you don't have your Bibles, may I encourage you to take your phones. I know many of you have apps there. I've been encouraging you to read through three different books. Which books did I encourage you to read? Ezra. Okay, Esther and Nehemiah. I would encourage you to continue to read those if you haven't. Because you'll see how the story all comes together. I would encourage you to participate with us, to join us after the service. We have had lovely meals. We would love to have you there. The first time we got together, we had a good group. The second time was bigger. And may I encourage you to come today. We have some really good food for you. We would love you to stay. The questions that we're going to be working on today is design. How are we going to get there? Last week we talked about what is God laying upon your heart? How is God moving? Not our will, but God's will. And it's been really neat. And if you have the opportunity, may I encourage you to read the stickies up there because you'll see the common themes that the Lord has been laying upon people's hearts here. The past few Sundays, we've been talking about vision, and we've been talking about the building blocks that are important for vision. And they're not only important for building vision, but they're also important for maintaining vision, as we see today. We also saw, as we worked through the passage last Sunday, that together we've begun to realize that sacrifice and risk involved in following the vision that God gives to Nehemiah and to us. There's going to be sacrifice. There's going to be risk. You see, vision never becomes reality until someone is ready to make the jump. Launching a vision always requires wholehearted commitment. God has been moving in our midst. We've been kind of in that neutral land, if you want to say it, where we've not much has been happening at times. You wouldn't see it, but inside, lots has been going on. And we saw that last week, Sunday, as we went through the passage of how God was working behind the scenes, how he was preparing all the things to come together as he's preparing you for this journey. You see, Goliath would have never been defeated had David not stepped out from the ranks of the Israelites to challenge this giant. No one else stepped out. Peter would not have known the full thrill of coming to Jesus on the water had he not swung both feet over the side of the boat and stepped out into the deep water. We will never experience the fulfillment of the accomplishment, the vision that God has given, if we're not willing to take the risk and sacrifice that's required. Last week, we left Nehemiah in chapter 2, where he casts the vision to the people. And they were excited. They bought into the vision. And the work of rebuilding was ready to begin. Nehemiah assigned jobs, and each one began to work on the section of their wall. He divided them up. Just as it's not easy for us to make sacrifices required, it was not easy for the people of Jerusalem either. You see, many of them were farmers, agricultural. It was a very much agricultural society. And if you weren't working, you weren't eating. And I'm sure they were busy with more things to do than they could fit in their schedule. And adding this project to their daily routine meant putting off the things and putting on other things on hold. And to make things even more complicated, many of the people had moved out of the city. into the surrounding Jerusalem, rebuilding the walls meant leaving their homes, their farms, families, businesses to travel to town to work. Eventually, they were asked to leave their homes altogether and move into the city to make the work more efficient. And they did this so willingly. You see, the vision of what could be and should be compelled them to make the necessary sacrifice. That's what God is saying to us today. May He move in a powerful way amongst you. From my visits with many of you, I envision FBC as a different kind of church. A church where the church body does whatever it takes to reach a community for Christ, to preach God's word, and to grow in your walk and depth of understanding the Lord. And that all came out of the stickies from last week. To follow God, even when it does not make sense. To sacrifice your preferences, even though it is not comfortable or convenient. Nehemiah has sacrificed a lot to get to this place. He left a job in the palace and traveled hundreds of miles, hoping that a group of people he had never met would join him in the project that had little chance of success. And if you have your bulletins, may I encourage you to flip to it. But this brings us to the building block number 9. Do not expect others to take greater risk or make greater sacrifices than you have. You see, we left Nehemiah. He shared with them what the Lord had done to get him to this point, how the Lord miraculously moved. Don't expect others to take greater risk or make greater sacrifices than you have. You will have to be committed to the vision that God has given you. You'll have to step out on faith and risk of being ridiculed, even from within. As you make sacrifices to accomplish this vision, your potential to lead others will greatly increase. But if you retreat, if you say, "Oh, this is just nonsense," you will always wonder what might have been. Not everyone will buy into the vision. In fact, many will go so far as to resist it. And Nehemiah found that to be true. And if you have your Bibles, we're going to start off in Nehemiah chapter 4. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 1 starts off this way. When Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he became very angry and was greatly incensed. He ridiculed the Jews, and in the presence of his associates and the army of Samaria, he said, "What are those feeble Jews doing? Will they restore their walls? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they finish in a day? Can they bring the stones back to life from those heaps of rubble, burned as they are?" Tobiah the Ammonite, who was by his side, said, What they are building, even if a fox climbed on it, he would break down their walls of stone. Sanballat and Tobiah were obviously not happy or supportive of the vision. In fact, they tried on more than one occasion to discourage the workers and cause the work to stop. The workers began to get tired. And the thrill of the new project had worn off. They were kind of like my son and daughters when they were small, and we'd get into the car and we barely went down the block. They would start complaining, and then the first thing that came out of their mouth was, "Are we there yet?" Nehemiah remembered that this was a vision from God. And he realized that it was a spiritual endeavor. And that's why I've been encouraging you to saturate this in prayer, in pursuing God's will together, in looking at this. The fact that his work revolved primarily around brick and mortar and rubble did not distract him from the spiritual dimension of vision. Which brings us to block number 10. Respond to criticism with prayer, remembrance, and if necessary, a revision of the plan. Look at what Nehemiah did in verse 4 of chapter 4. He prayed, "Hear us, O our God, for we are despised. Turn their insults back on their own heads. Give them over as plunder in the land of captivity. Do not cover up their guilt or blot out their sins from your sight, for they have thrown insults in the face of the builders." Praying. We can't stress that enough. Scripture cannot make that even more important than he has in Nehemiah here. Instead of responding to the criticism or defending himself to those who had criticized him, Nehemiah talked to God about it. He continued to channel his thoughts and energy in the direction of God's vision. Instead of focusing his attention on his enemies, how much better would we be if we made prayer our initial response to criticism? The second thing that Nehemiah did was remember the source of this vision that God had given him. In verse 14, it talks about that. "After I looked these things over, I stood up and said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, 'Do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers and your sons and your daughters and your wives and your homes.'" He thought back over the situation. He remembered how God had brought them this far. It was looking back that he found the energy to move forward. Look at what he did in verse 16 and 18. He revised his plan. "From that day on, half of my men did the work, while the other half were equipped with spears and shields and bows and armor. The officers posted themselves behind all the people of Judah who were rebuilding the wall. Those who carried materials did their work with one hand and held the weapon in the other. And each of the builders wore his sword at his side as he worked. But the man who sounded the trumpet stayed with me." Nehemiah decided to set up a guard. Why? Because these kings, Sanballat, Tobiah, the Samaritan army, threatened to attack them. Now they left their homes, they left their farms to come in to rebuild the walls. Now to even make it worse, as they're rebuilding, with one hand they're carrying a sword or a spear with the other. You see, posting a guard did not demonstrate a lack of faith. If Sanballat and his army decided to invade Jerusalem, Nehemiah knew they didn't stand a chance of defending themselves with God, without God's intervention. He did what he needed to do, and he trusted God for the rest. I mean, he knew that. If that army wanted to attack, there was no way the people were able to defend themselves. It was up to God. It was in God's hands. The next block. Don't confuse your plan with God's vision. Nehemiah did not quit because his first plan was not working perfectly. He knew the difference between his plan and God's vision. God's vision is what could be and should be. A plan is a guess as the best way to accomplish this vision. That's where we're at today in our questions. What's God laying upon your heart? What's the best way to accomplish the vision? We may need, and you may need, to revise the plan, but not the vision. Which brings us to the next building block, and we see that. Visions are refined. They don't change. Plans are revised, and they rarely stay the same. We can be confident of the vision that God is laying upon your heart and upon this body. But we need to be flexible with the plan. The strategies, the timelines are always up for grab. God makes it really clear that His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. We have to trust Him. Look at chapter 5 of Nehemiah, 1 through 5. Now the men and their wives raised a great outcry against their Jewish brothers. Uh-oh, turmoil within. Some were saying, "We and our sons and daughters are numerous. In order for us to eat and stay alive, we must get grain." Others were saying, "We are mortgaging our fields and our vineyards and our homes to get grain during the famine." And still others were saying, "We had to borrow money to pay the king's tax on our fields and vineyards. Although we are the same blood, same flesh as our countrymen, though our sons are as good as theirs, yet we have to support our sons, we have to subject our sons and our daughters and subject them to slavery. Some of our daughters have already been enslaved, but we are powerless because our fields and our vineyards belong to others." It's obvious from these verses that the work on the wall was taking its toll. They were running out of food. They were running out of money. And many had already mortgaged their farms and sold their children to slavery just to pay the taxes and just to buy food. And just to make matters worse, Nehemiah discovered that some of the nobles and the city officials were actually taking advantage of the situation to make profit. Everyone was pulled in different directions and had different concerns of their own. And they were starting to lose sight of the vision. Look at what it says in verse 6. "And when I heard their outcry and their charges, I was very angry. I pondered them in my mind and then accused the nobles and officials, and I told them, 'You are exacting usury from your own countrymen.' And so I called together a large meeting to deal with them and said, 'As far as possible, we have bought back our Jewish brothers who were sold to the Gentiles. Now we are selling our brothers only for them to be sold back to us.' Yet they kept quiet because they couldn't find anything to say." Nehemiah pointed it hard. "And so I continue, 'What you are doing is not right. Should not you walk in the fear of our God and avoid the reproach of our Gentile enemies?
I and my brothers and my men are also lending the people money and grain. But let the exacting of usury stop. Give back to them immediately their fields and vineyards and olive groves and houses and also the usury you were charging, the 100th part of the money, grain, new wine, and oil. And after he confronted them and hit the nail on the head, verse 12, we will give it back. And we will not demand anything more from them. We will do as you say. And then I summoned the priests and made the nobles and officials take an oath to do what they had promised. And I also shook out the folds of my robe and said, in this way may God shake out his house and possessions every man who does not keep this promise. So may such a man be shaken out and emptied. And at this, the whole assembly said, amen, and praise the Lord. And the people did as they promised. Here's the thing. The 13th block. Vision thrives in an environment of unity. And they die. Vision dies in an environment of division. When you look at the stickies from last week's Sunday, unity is overwhelming in this body. As a matter of fact, when I started 13 months ago, unity was a concern when you filled out the survey. Unity was a concern when Paul was preaching here and pastoring. Unity was a concern when you made the prayer booklet. Lack of unity causes division. And you're all asking about unity. We want unity. Unity is not this. It's not uniformity. I stress that. It's not that we all smell the same. We all think the same. We all look the same. That's not unity. And unity starts with each one of us. It starts with our heart. It starts with where we're at. What does God have to say to me? You see, that's what this is happening. These nobles, these officials, were taxing their own people, causing division, breaking up unity. We see we have unity. We have the same Lord. We have the same God. We have the same Savior. And that is so important. So when we think about this, what kind of steps, how is this going to happen? It starts with you and I. Nehemiah knew that he couldn't ignore these problems. Just like you can't ignore the alignment in your car and it keeps on pulling to the one direction, you need to resolve it. You need to get it fixed. And they become bigger if we're unwilling and determined to address them. And Nehemiah addressed it. You see, Nehemiah had great influence over his people. Influence is far more critical than the success of your vision, than your position. When Nehemiah had this great influence over people, moral authority is the relationship other people see between what you say and what you do, between what you claim to be and what you are. You see, we are the kingdom now and the kingdom not yet. Here's what I mean by that. You are a part of God's kingdom now. When the Lord returns, that's the kingdom yet. People are looking at us from outside these physical walls, our neighborhood, our friends, and they're seeing, is there anything different? Anything different? Anything different? Let us go to verse 14 of chapter 5. In the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when I was appointed to be their governor in the land of Judah, until his 32nd year, 12 years neither, I nor my brothers ate the food allotted to the governor. But the earlier governors, those who preceded me, placed a heavy burden on the people and took 40 shekels of silver from them in addition to the food and the wine, and their assistants also lorded it over. But out of reverence for God, I did not act this that way. Instead, I devoted myself to the work on this wall. And all my men were assembled there for the work. We did not acquire any land. Furthermore, 150 Jews and officials ate at my table, as well as those who came to us from surrounding nations. Each day, one ox, 6 choice sheep, and 7 poultry were prepared for me, and every 10 days an abundant supply of wines of all kinds. In spite of all this, I never demanded the food allotted to the governors, because the demands were heavy on these people. Remember me with favor, O God, for all I have done for these people. Building block number 14. Abandon the vision before abandoning your moral authority. You must be willing to do the right thing, even if it jeopardizes your vision. Often we have to make choices somewhere down the road of whether or not we will compromise ethically, morally, for the sake of seeing our vision through to completion. Now that may sound foreign to you, but it happens. Because this week, I even had a church reach out to me, a little bit bigger than you, and they talked about this. Abraham had to make his choice. He finally had a son, and God said to him, sacrifice him. Abraham's dilemma was not that different from the ones you and I will have to face. Do I obey God, or do I do what appears to best serve the completion of this vision? Here's the key. Just as God intervened on behalf of Abraham, if your vision is truly from God, and we keep saturating in prayer, He will intervene for you as well. Furthermore, God will never lead you to embrace a vision that would force you to do something that He forbids. And we learn from Nehemiah that developing and maintaining moral authority requires 3 things. It first requires character. The will to do what is right as God defines. It's not that Nehemiah did not have legal right to require food allotment. He could have ordered it. He had every right. But it was not the right thing to do under the circumstances. You see, he had to die to self. Sacrifice, giving beyond what is comfortable and convenient. Nehemiah realized that he couldn't expect the people to sacrifice more than he was willing to sacrifice. If they were going without food, he needs to go without food. Time. Moral authority is achieved over time as your character is put to the test. People will see consistent repeatedly between you, what you say and what you do. You can't hide your spots. It eventually leaks out. When Nehemiah heard about the needs in Jerusalem, where God's people were being oppressed and the city walls had been broken down, he prayed and he fasted. And we see that in chapter 1. And as time passes, he felt bonded to the needs of Jerusalem, and his burden increased. when God is birthing a vision in your life, when he's birthing a vision in your church body, you see a need, and at some point, you cross the line from being objective observation to one who wants to jump in there with both feet. The burden weighs heavy. You can't escape it. You mourn for what you have seen, and then you act upon it. You see, God is birthing a vision inside of you. God is moving in this body. It's time to be strong and courageous. It's time to take a step forward in fulfilling the vision that God has given you. No matter what the next step may be encouraged. Your courage is rooted and grounded in your relationship with God. As we read in Deuteronomy, we need to follow what God has given us in the Word. What's holding you back from taking the next step with God in your life? What challenges do you need to rise above? As we get into the questions this morning, and good food and fellowship, it's not going to be up to your new pastor to fulfill the vision. It's going to be up to you as a body. You're all going to have to play into it. You're all going to have to work into it. It's not going to be up to the leadership. It's not going to be up just to a few that are working. It's up to all of us. Is it going to be challenging? Absolutely. Is there going to be risk? Absolutely. Are we going to have to die to some of our preferences? Absolutely. But it's for God's honor and glory. It's for the people around that don't know him. For our opportunity to share Christ. Let me just pray as we bring the team back up here. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for how you use Nehemiah and the Israelites to move in a powerful way for us. Lord, may we just open up our hands to you, our hearts to you, as we continue to seek your will, Lord. May you just move in us in a powerful way today. We're going to be looking at questions of what kind of pastor we would want to have and to see accomplish and help accomplish this mission and this vision. Lord, may you just grant us incredible wisdom. And we just pray and ask things in your name.